Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I sit down with Executive Director at Resimar Business Group, Kyle Butcher. On the episode, Kyle and I talk about leading with empathy, building a community, and the importance of a relentless work ethic. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. I am here and excited for another episode. And today we have Kyle Butcher. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as I start every episode, bring a little context to everybody watching, listening from wherever they are, whenever they're listening. Can you talk to us a little bit about what you do currently on a day-to-day basis, what that looks like for you, and then we'll talk a little bit how you got there and then where you're going?
Absolutely. So I am the executive director of a company called Resimar Business Group, which is an umbrella company, which has holdings in many different industries, many different sectors. So day to day, we have a chemical manufacturing and agricultural product, animal care manufacturing facility. Another business that I oversee is food and beverage brands. And then additionally, the fund project is working with and helping manage a vineyard and winery based in Napa. So my day to day schedule is fluid, as you've learned. Very quickly, and it's dynamic, and so things change day to day. I'm doing something different every day and basically every weekend. I'm fortunate to be able to do some travel, and I'm also in a position where I'm responsible for a lot of employees, which I take extremely seriously, and at the end of the day I enjoy it. So thank you again for having me, and I look forward to sharing my experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely want to touch on the management aspect in a bit, but kind of going back, you know, talking about how things are always changing, you got the travel component, you know, things, you know, are different things are coming at you each and every single day. You know, it seems like that's been something you gravitate towards based on your experiences in the past. And I'm specifically referring to the Peace Corps coming out of school. And one thing when we were talking before, you know, actually sitting down to record this episode, you mentioned something that I thought was really interesting in terms of what the Peace Corps represented for you in your professional career. So can you kind of talk about a little bit of what you did in the Peace Corps, just for, again, the context, and then touch on what it represented for you and the impact that it had on your professional career?
Absolutely. My interest in the Peace Corps started when I was at Lynn. You know, it was the first time that I was exposed to, in a good way, to students from over 100 different countries. People are speaking different languages in the cafeteria. I'm working on teams with five students from five different countries. And so that really piqued my interest in, you know, what can I do to learn more about languages, culture, and travel and have these experiences. And I'm a huge proponent of national service, whether that's military, diplomatic corps, Peace Corps, or just volunteering in your community. And the Peace Corps was a great opportunity for me after I completed grad school at Lynn to travel, but also to serve, to find a way to apply the skills and experience that I have been very fortunate to gain throughout my life and especially my educational experience, to be able to serve a larger purpose, of course, serve the mission of the Peace Corps and the United States, but also connect on a human level, learn a new language or two, understand cultures and traditions that are unlike my own, and find a way to contribute to the community that I was living in. So my time at Lynn really piqued my interest. And also at that time, I had worked my whole life, or so I thought, to do a specific career. And this really opened my eyes to what else is out there. And again, how fortunate I've been my entire life to have supportive parents, go to great schools, have great coaches, and have a great experience, not only in junior college, but at Lynn. And I thought I could apply my skills in order to do something, yes, out of the box, but something more impactful and go down that road in my career or careers in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned that, you know, kind of going down that was something that was a different path than what you had originally, you know, anticipated for yourself professionally. So what was that process like for you in terms of what did you anticipate professionally before you kind of got exposed to this whole world, quite literally the whole world? And then how'd you kind of make that transition to say, hey, you know, there are more things out there? You know, what was that like for you? How'd you work through that thought process?
Absolutely. So I worked through college the entire time. So I had worked different jobs for different companies, large and small, some more functional than others. But I as many kids growing up in the U.S., I played baseball. I knew I was not good enough to play professionally, but I always wanted to work in the front office in some capacity because it was what I was comfortable with and it was what I had the most knowledge about. However, once I started working one job in particular for a major league team, I realized, you know what, I can do more. I can apply these skills that I've been very fortunate to learn and to have in other areas, not only in other areas in terms of business, but in other areas of the world. And it takes a lot of self-discovery, but also a willingness to learn, not only about yourself, but about the world and different contexts in terms of work, in terms of living situations. And that's really why I made the switch.
So something that you brought up too that I thought was so interesting, again, you know, on that phone call that we had talking about the Peace Corps, was you mentioned that it you know, the 26 months of service, it not being a job in terms of like an entire career, but what it did give you, and it wasn't the single reason why you got hired and why you're in the position you're in now in terms of your professional life, but what you said is it gave you great skills that you apply and use each and every single day. So can you talk a little bit about what those skills are? And because I think that idea of an experience in maximizing experience and understanding that, hey, this may not be my entire life career, but I can still get so much from it, is a super important lesson. And so for you, what did that look like? What were some of those skills that you maximized, and how do you use those skills from the Peace Corps today?
Sure. I think especially in a lot of job interviews, we always talk about, oh, I'm good at managing my time. But in the context of the Peace Corps, I was dropped in a small country called Macedonia. And I had 26 months to do as much as I possibly could. And so what I talk about is how to maximize your time wherever you are. And so with that, in Peace Corps, you're forced to apply the skills and experience that you've gained your whole life every single day. I was a subsistence farmer. We had to produce what we ate, and that's how we survived. And then I would work with the couple of jobs I had around town, working with the locals, learning new languages, learning about the culture and how to apply that into being a creative problem solver. And I think at the end of the day, Peace Corps really helped me become a creative problem solver and to be entrepreneurial and to really have to apply that every single day. It's one thing to study it in school, but to apply is a totally different, it's a whole different animal.
And so looking at the stuff that you do today, and I'm sure there's, you know, many instances, so this may be a tough question because it's so, you know, could be so broad, but what would be an example of some of that creative problem solving that you see, you know, come to benefit you in the work that you do today? So that you're facing a problem in your role, and you know, that you may have a time where you kind of use that skill to navigate it.
Absolutely. Like, honestly, I think more about managing employees. So I manage about 20 to 25 employees on a daily basis now. And what, as leaders or managers, we don't always think about making mistakes, because I make more mistakes than all of my employees combined, but 90% of the time they have no idea. But I think it's really important to build a rapport and build some kind of a relationship with every employee. I think something that I did in Peace Corps and something that I do now is I work in every department that we have, whether it's manufacturing, it's marketing, it's sales, it's finance. I try to learn about each department, and by doing that, build rapport with each employee I have. And I think it creates a sense of transparency, but also a sense of empathy. I know that when everyone comes to work, they're not always at their best, but I can reasonably ask for 100% of whatever they have in the tank that day. And so I think it's about being empathetic and understanding and getting to know the people you work with, and that will help you become a creative problem solver as a group working for a company, both in the public or private sectors.
No, definitely. And looking back to the first time you kind of got, whether it was within the position you're in now or maybe a prior position, where you kind of got put in more of that leadership role where, you know, it wasn't necessarily just leading yourself or, you know, maybe the one or two people around you, but it was on a more substantial level. And that's not to discount leading yourself or leading the one or two people around you. But, you know, what was that like when you kind of first took on your first major leadership role? You know, what were some thoughts going through your head? What were some of the, you know, how did you approach it just in general?
Yeah, a big lesson is when in doubt, slow down. Especially in the private sector, you're dealing with people, but you're also dealing with money, finance, budget, whatever you want to, however you want to put it. So in terms of making decisions, they say in business, the worst decision is no decision, but that doesn't mean that there's a certain timetable that you have to work according to. So in my experience at the beginning, I was moving a little too fast and I made mistakes because of it. And so when I really took a step back, I was able to analyze what is going on. I was able to manage people more effectively. Communication is key. Effective communication is huge, especially if you, in my case, my employee's first language is not my own. And so that I draw from the skills I gained in Peace Corps to, again, be able to build a relationship and also be empathetic. But when in doubt, slow down, because when I make a mistake, it sets off a train, as the leader or manager, it sets off a chain reaction. And so it's really a comprehensive business strategy to be an effective communicator, to be empathetic and have a sense of trust and a relationship with all of your employees. And then when in doubt, slow down and really analyze what is going on so we can make the best, most informed decisions.
When you talk about early on things speeding up on you, going too fast, what did that look like when things were going too fast? Maybe you were making decisions too quickly. What did that look like for you?
Sure. I think first and foremost, it's in a leadership role, you need to bring people together. And so even though our roles are segmented, right? Someone works in sales, finance, marketing, IT, manufacturing, we're all on the same team. And so we have to find a way to build inclusive, fully integrated strategies, because if our production and manufacturing schedule is off, then our sales team is not able to perform. Or if we don't have a strategic marketing plan, then our finance department is going to look for all of our, they're going to say, where's the revenue and what's the return on that marketing plan? So again, effective communication, being inclusive, and bringing people together has really served me well as I've learned to be in this role.
So it's really, really about taking the time to go about doing that kind of stuff, it sounds like, right?
As difficult as it is, especially in the private sector, where you need to find a way to pivot, make decisions. Again, slow down, make the right decision, but bring people together. And something also that leaders or managers need to do is ask for help. Have a mentor, have someone you can lean on. Because if I make a decision and I'm ill-informed, I need to have the trust of my sub-directors that they're going to give me feedback. I want the feedback. Maybe that puts me in the minority. But if I make a decision and say, hey, we need to do this, this, and this, I want people to say, hey, I don't think that's the right decision. Hey, let's discuss it. Let's form more of a plan together and then implement it, as opposed to me just saying, okay, today I want to do this, 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 and this, and this, go. So I think it's another form of empathy to seek feedback and be transparent as a manager. And I think that helps build a level of respect amongst our employees.
And so when you're getting feedback and you're asking for feedback, you know, I think we can understand, hey, we can understand on a logical level, it's not personal, but on the human level, sometimes it's like, you know, somebody says, hey, that's not what I think, or I disagree, or you're not doing the best job I think you can. It may sting a bit, you know, so how do you go about understanding that and practicing that, hey, this isn't personal, you know, this is something that, you know, is for the greater good, you know, how do you draw that line, draw that divide, you know, so you are productive and you are doing the right things as a leader?
It's cultural, not only in terms of the culture that we create at the company, but also the culture, the cultures of my employees and of me, right? As as someone managing a team made up of 20 people from Central and South America, the culture is, it's very community based, right? My culture, my professional culture is very individualistic. And so what I appreciate is every day there's a sense of community, there's a sense of family, there's a sense of, hey, I got your back. Whereas in previous with previous companies I worked for in previous positions, it's not like that. You're scraping, scratching, and clawing to get in front of the next guy. And so that really, really comes to my aid, and I think helps our company as a whole, is creating a culture of, a family-based culture and a family-based workplace where we help each other out.
And from the time that you started, was that something that you really had to build, or was it kind of like a natural evolution in terms of creating this culture, the community-based culture?
No, you have to act. I believe that you have to actively build culture in any organization. It's great to have one product. It's great to have a company full of people. But if you don't have a mission and you're not working to foster a culture of whatever you want to every single day, then your company's not going to be successful. But it goes back to what I said previously. You need to have effective communication strategies, which build culture. You need to bring people together, which also builds culture.
Now going back in time a bit, putting yourself in the shoes, thinking about that and looking at, the students coming up, you know, who may be looking to get into a similar industry, what are some ways that they can get involved early on? Because something that I was talking about the other day was, you know, you need experience to get a job, you need a job to get experience, and it's a cycle, you know. So how do you go about early on in your career gaining valuable experience? What are some different resources that students who may want to get involved in a similar industry can look into?
Sure. So as a returned Peace Corps volunteer, I'll say I did not get any jobs because there was a Peace Corps volunteer. It's all about how you frame your experience and how you articulate your experience and the skills that you gain. So no one is running around saying, oh, I want to hire you because you're a Peace Corps volunteer. But if I explain the skills that I learned, the experience that I had, the things we accomplished together, then I become more attractive to an employer. But I think being self-aware and being willing to learn really goes a long way. I know, especially in front of our ownership group, I'm more than comfortable saying, hey, I made a mistake, or also going against the grain and being honest. I think honesty and integrity goes a really long way. And in an interview setting or for a recent graduate, that plays not only for an entry-level position, but also as you're working your way up to be an executive. Honesty and integrity, being transparent, being respectful, it really goes a long way, but also it shows employers that you're a culture builder, that you're a hard worker, that you have a relentless work ethic. Are you willing to be the first person at work and the first person or the last person to leave? That's more, it's easier said than done, but these building blocks set up what I think is success in the long run.
And so looking back at, you know, your kind of career path and journey, do you think that, you know, for the student coming out of college, are there specific jobs or positions that they should get involved in or take part in early in the career? Or is it more so positions that will give them a certain set of skills? What do you think is more important? And maybe a combo platter, you know, of those two, but what's your take on that?
I think it's a combination, but from my experience, I'm a huge proponent of making changes, right? Changing, learn about different industries, especially if you're 30 or younger, work in different industries and figure out what it is you want to do, right? Because many of us go to school for one thing, and then as soon as we graduate, we say, like in my case, I don't think I want to do this as a career. So you change it up and you gain new experience. I don't believe that that I lost any opportunities because I made a switch. I see it as a learning experience. And yes, I think I've paid my dues up to this point, but I think all the experience that I've had, the diverse experience, has really benefited me. And in the long run, which has been less than 10 years, I'm in the very fortunate position I am now. So diversify on all fronts.
No, that makes sense. That's a great perspective to have, and one that I know I share with all the students that I met with during my time at Lynn was, you know, I studied journalism knowing I'm like, I don't want to be a journalist when I grow up, but you know, it gave me good skills and skills that I use today. And, you know, I'm fortunate because I can tell you before I got into school, before I went through that program, this whole thing, this whole podcasting, this video thing, would it not be me, you know, hated technology, hated all that stuff, but it exposed me, to your point, to just this whole other world, you know, of different opportunities out there. And so I think that that's such an important thing. What you study, what you major in, you know, maybe that first, second, third, fourth, fifth job, you know, does not have to be exactly what you're going to do forever. It's about gaining that, you know, those different skill sets. So I think that's a, you know, really, really great perspective there. And so now looking forward, you know, I always like this question, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, so what are some projects that you're working on? What are you looking to, you know, accomplish? Because I know from the things that you talked about, impact is a really important thing to you. So, you know, what does that look like as you project into the future in terms of what kind of impact are you hoping to have within the company, outside of the company, and any other things that you're involved in?
Sure. I mentioned earlier that in managing the number of employees that I do, I take on a sense of responsibility for them and for their families. I really take pride in being able to build a culture in this company and to make it successful in the long run. But I do it, of course, it's great that I'm able to make a living for myself and for my family, but I really take it seriously that there are 20, 25 employees and their families that depend on me and depend on the company's success. So in the private sector, I feel like that is, I've been able to translate that into making the impact that I want to make in the here and now. But also, I think something that students and recent grads can benefit from is always be willing to learn and always be a step ahead. If something happens tomorrow and this company is not there, no longer here, what am I going to do? Right? Do I have an updated resume? Am I passively applying for jobs? Am I passively interviewing? Am I networking? Am I going places on the weekends or after work? Or just going back to being creative, when you go to a conference or a trade show or something, see what's out there. You're doing yourself a disservice. Most employers, especially in a corporate setting nowadays, there's no loyalty. And things are changing. If you work remote, your employer might say, you know what, no more remote, and you're laid off. And so in a dynamic work environment, on a macro level in the United States and around the world, you have to try to be one step ahead of your employer, even if that means you have to change industries in the short run.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if this is where you were headed with this, but as we close out the show and it's time to, you know, cash out, where you leave us with your biggest piece of advice. And, you know, if that wasn't it, then we're in for a treat. So what do you have for us? Your biggest lesson learned, biggest piece of advice to leave us with a little extra money for the road.
Sure. So first thing is, you have to know that there's always someone working harder than you, doing more with less. Many times, I've seen it when I would compete in marathons or triathlons. There's someone older than you. There's someone larger, smaller, who they appear slower, they appear faster. There's someone always working harder than you and doing more with less. And that directly translates to the business environment and work. The second thing is, success is not linear. So when we're in college, when we're a recent graduate, we have a goal of where we want to be one day, and we work for it every single day. But I think it's important to understand that success is not linear. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have great years. You're going to have not so great years. But at the end of the day, in order to get to our goal, it's going to take 15, 20, 25 years or an entire career. And so understanding that success is not linear helps manage, personally helps me manage my expectations. But I also, in the back of my mind, know that there's someone working harder, getting up earlier, staying later than me. And that's what drives me every day.
I love it. A little motivation, a little patience, a little bit of both, you know, so that's a beautiful thing. So Kyle, this was awesome throughout. Yeah. I appreciate you coming on, sharing your experiences. I know you're making that impact and will continue to do so. So thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me, Ben.